All right, good morning. Welcome. Welcome to those watching online. Welcome to those in the room. What a great Sunday. And hopefully you all enjoyed your extra hour of sleep. You didn't waste it. It's such a gift. I think it's great. So don't know if it'll ever happen again. They're talking about changing the whole system, but that's not what we're talking about this morning. We are in the Sermon on the Mount. So if you first joined us, it's fine. We are in the series going through Matthew chapter 6. Learning what Jesus is teaching us about the kingdom. Remember, it's just the kingdom of God, the kingdom that is already, it's at work in our hearts, but it's not yet. Jesus has not come back. He has not established his kingdom here. And so we wrestle with these two things. And so in the Sermon on the Mount, it's all him teaching about the kingdom, that we would understand his kingdom and how his kingdom is different from ours. So we encourage you, read through the whole thing at some point. You can get the Bible app and you can stick it on play and you can just let it play for you those three chapters and just listen to it all together as they would have that day on the mountainside in Judea. They would have heard all that and just taken in what the kingdom is all about. So last week was all about in the kingdom we have only one king. Remember this idea of mammon, this idea of money and possessions and wealth and what we do with it. And Jesus says, it's not treasure. It's a tool. Don't worship it. Don't run after it. Don't make it first. Don't give it lots of attention. Understand, I am in charge. I am the king, and put your hope there. So he just reminds us of all that, and you go back and kind of follow along where we were with the idea of mammon. Now, today, the topic, you know, nobody really cares about worry and anxiety because none of us ever deal with that. Right? None of us have any problems, right? You're up at 3 in the morning because I'm just so full of joy I can't sleep. I don't know about you, that's never happened to me, okay? At 2 o'clock when I'm like, okay, it's not because everything is great. It's because I am worried about something. And what I found interesting is the World Health Organization tells us that America leads the way in worry and anxiety. Do you know what? We're number one. Isn't that great? That's a chant you'll never hear. That's a message that will never go out. Hey, come to our nation. You can be number one in worry and anxiety. Right? Nobody cares about that, but we are that way. We are number one in it. That's just amazing, right? Of all the things, with all the blessings we have, yet we're number one in worry and anxiety. And for us living here in Iowa, I found out something interesting this week. Do you know the states with the highest percentage of prescriptions filled for anxiety or depression medications? This is 2022, it's 1 year ago. Ready for this? We are number two. We're basically number one. We're tied with New Hampshire, okay? Right? 14.2%. Do you know what this means? This means when you're in the pharmacy next time, let's say there's 10 people ahead of you. One of the 10 is there to get medication for this. I just want you to understand how big of an issue this is. How widespread is this? And even in our own state, we're number one. We're leading the way. And how many people are being prescribed things because of anxiety and worry going on in our lives. So small group, Wednesday night, third, fourth, and fifth graders. One of them tells me, I have anxiety. And I asked this student, well, what does that mean? I don't know. I was just told I have anxiety, okay? So I don't know what that means. If that means, right, there's a prescription, there's things. I don't know. But a fifth grader, you know, third, fourth, fifth grader are telling me this, okay, that it's such a prevalent thing. And we probably fall into that. We fall into that because when anything's wrong and we don't want to go to the doctor, do you know who we go to? We do go to a doctor. The doctor's name is Google, okay? Now, I don't know about you if this has ever worked well, okay? Putting your symptoms into Google is like never a good thing, okay? I don't know how it's set up, but I always have something bad. You ever happened to you? It's bad. I mean, it's always bad. It's never good. It's never, oh, congratulations, you don't need to worry at all. You have some. It doesn't work that way. I don't know why, but it doesn't seem to work that way. It's always the opposite. And you and I think we love Dr. Google, okay? We love it. We just love putting stuff in there and finding out what's going on because we're worried about something that's happening in our life. So that just helps us understand. This is a big deal. We could probably all talk this morning with each other, and we could talk about the times that we have been worried or been anxious even this week. Now, the scripture we're going to enter into, Jesus is going to use that word, and it can be translated either way, okay, in your scriptures from Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at these few verses. This is like the first part of two parts where Jesus wants to talk about this whole topic and pull us in and say, in the kingdom, I want you to have a different mindset. I know this is how you think. I know this. There's so many things going on in your life, but I want us to think differently. So the word he uses, some of your translations will pick up anxiety, some will pick up worry. It's translated both ways. You can go to Philippians where Paul says, don't be anxious about anything. Same word, okay, same word. So it can be translated either way. But here we go. We're going to dive in. You can follow along on the screen. If you're watching online, you can follow along right on the bottom. Here we go. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Now, when Jesus uses the word life, it's not the word bio, just means your physical life. You're breathing, okay? Why are you worried about your breathing? It's bigger than that. He uses the word that is all about your mental, emotional states. Really, we would call it the heart. Okay, this is the type of life he's talking about. He's like, I'm not just worried, and we're not talking about you're just breathing, okay? We're talking about your life, your will, your mind, your emotions. That's what is made up in this word, this idea of life. So why are you worried about those things? Whether you will eat or drink, or about your body, what will you wear? Isn't there more to life, right? Isn't there more to who you are than food and more to the body than clothing, right? He's just trying to pull us in. Wait a minute, isn't there more? Isn't there more? Are we tangled up in something here that perhaps we shouldn't be tangled up into? Isn't there more than this? This is what we're worried about. This is what's consuming all our time. But isn't there something more? He's just kind of drawing us into a conversation he'd like to have with us. And he says, look at the birds in the sky. They do not sow or reap or gather into barns. You ever seen that, right? We haven't seen that. If a bird is a birdhouse, you built it, okay? You built it. You made it. You're trying to make sure they have what they need. They didn't build it, right? They didn't show up and start working on lumber and build a nice house in your backyard. You did that for them, right? He says what? They do not sow or reap or gather in barns yet. Your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you more valuable than they are? And that word is just, but wait a minute. But we're talking about birds, Jesus would say. You're different than that. You understand this, right? You're an image bearer of God. You were made in his image. You understand in a value sense you're worth more. And it's just like we sang the song, His Eyes on the Sparrow. That was Jesus' point in Matthew chapter 10. He says, you guys, sparrows are like worth what? Nothing. Very little. And they're valuable to my heavenly Father. Why don't you think you're valuable? And he's just making sure we understand. Do you understand? Your heavenly Father believes you're valuable. More valuable than things we might put value on. He says, you're valuable. You're different than they are. You have value. And which of you, by worrying, can add even 1 hour to his life? We had an hour taken away, so that didn't work well for anybody, did it? Right? 1 hour, how can you add more by worrying? Why do you worry about clothing? Think about how the flowers of the field grow. They do not work or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, because that was their picture of opulence and wealth. That was always the Jewish picture of what it means to really be rich and have everything was Solomon. Not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. I know you think Solomon was rich and no. And if this is how God clothes the wild grass, which is here today and tomorrow is tossed into the fire to heat the oven, right? Because you would use those things on top of any wood you would able to have as well. Won't he clothe you even more? And then he makes this statement. This is really important. You people of little faith. ? That's really important. We're going to come back to that. We tend to read a lot of emotion into when Jesus tells somebody, you have little faith. We tend to read a lot of emotion, a lot of condemnation, and yet Jesus is asking a question. Are you having a faith problem, a trust problem? So what can we learn from this? So Jesus says, the first thing I want you to know is that word. That the word worry is divided into pieces, to go to pieces, to be pulled apart. That's all in that word, okay? That's why, man, we have to condense into something. Just think about that. To be divided into pieces, now what it feels like at times, or to go to pieces, we've been there, and to be pulled apart. To be pulled apart. It's this dividedness, this divided, right? Where Jesus is leaning into people who should know that he is the king. Remember, he's assuming that. He's bringing a new kingdom. I'm the new king. And he's assuming they're doing that. Don't fall into pieces. Don't divide into pieces. I want you to follow me, which is going to be a lot of what's going to be talked about next week. But it's really important, this idea that are we divided? Could this be indicating something's going on in our heart and life, that we're kind of divided on some things that are happening, and we don't know how to process them or think about them in relation to what God has to say for us? So let's just wrap up these in a couple of things, if we could. The first one would be, don't worry about provisions. God will provide. Right? That's the first thing to worry about. That's the first thing we're worried about. We looked at last week. I'm telling you, this, the whole journey, you ought to read it sometime. It's great when they're in the wilderness and they're traveling to the promised land, because that whole exercise was an exercise in that God will provide. We're like, yeah, but what are we going to do? No, God's going to provide. Yeah, but we don't have any water. And if they would have kept going, there was water. And God provides food for them. It is an exercise in provision. I know, in Egypt, you were the slaves. And you think you had all this stuff. I want you to know that God's going to provide for you. I am going to provide for you. And that's, I'm telling you, it's a huge lesson. He says that. You can look around in nature and see the provision of God. That's his point. Go look around. Go look around. If God is providing in that way, because that should be our lesson, that should be our place to go see. If God's providing in that way, remember, you're more valuable. You're his image bearer. Do you think you're not more valuable? Do you think he doesn't care about the things that you and I need? So he's kind of pushing us a little bit to kind of consider that. Is that what's going on in our life? We are having an issue understanding that God has promised to be our provider. We follow him. He has promised to provide for us. Do you not know that you are more valuable? You are different. You are made in the image of God. That's his whole point through this, is making sure we understand. Don't you know you're more valuable? And he says it in different places, in different times, because he needs them to understand. I think you forgot your image bearers. Do you understand? If God does this to non-image bearers, things that we would think are easily accessible, cheap, easy things, what do you think he does with us? Don't you think he'll provide for us? Number two, worrying has no benefits. It has none, okay? It won't make your life better. It's not a prescription for health. We have not gone to the doctor and he said, you know what? If you would just worry more, I mean, just a couple hours, right? Just get in a couple more hours of worry. I'm telling you, your life will be better. No. Doesn't happen, does it? We're told to exercise. We're given medication. It's never a, you know, if you just worry more, it'd really help you. None of us, but we don't think that way, but this stuff creeps into our lives. And all of a sudden, it just becomes a part everywhere that we're having issues with this idea of worry, even though we know it doesn't make anything better. You're not up at 3 a.m. because everything is great, okay? You're not looking through stuff. You're not worried about stuff. Your mind isn't divided about so many things because everything's going wonderful. It's not going to make your life better. It's not a prescription for health, okay? They don't talk to somebody and said, wow, you're 108 years old. That's amazing. What's the secret? Worry all the time. Just worry, okay? Just get up in the morning and worry. If you just do that all the time, right? We don't think that way, but this is how it creeps in to our lives. We've never seen those examples, but that's just the way it creeps into our lives. When we know that nobody's talked about that, nobody's told us the big benefits, but for some reason, it just becomes part. We just do it. It just becomes a part of the pattern of our lives that we fall into this worry and anxiety. The other part is that God is good. He clothes flowers better than Solomon. Now, that's hard for us to picture. We never seen Solomon, right? He doesn't appear on your Instagram feed every day, right? Here's Solomon. Here's what he's wearing today, okay? So he doesn't fall in that category. But for them, that was their picture, again, of wealth and opulence. And oh, my goodness, this guy is amazing, okay? And he just says, but God is so good. This season, if I may for a moment, is important to stop and recognize the goodness of God. I know I had a lot of fun with somebody last week when a few of us pastors were getting together for coffee, and they're like, it's November 1st tomorrow. It's the Christmas season. I'm looking at them going, you're crazy. You're crazy. Yes, I know. Hallmark started all their movies 3 weeks ago, and Walmart is full of Christmas stuff. So it's easy just to get into that mode, okay? I'm not telling you can't put up your tree. I'm fighting hard not to get mine up, okay? Right? I got to fight my own battles. So, but this season's really important. There's a reason we have this season as well. And it's that we stop and remember that everything comes from God. Every good and perfect gift, James would write, comes from above. And if we miss that season, we miss that lesson. Because we're just into another one. Yeah, I know Jesus comes, Jesus is the King. Yeah, and we're getting trees and putting up 2 million lights and all this other stuff. And we're missing this season of thankfulness where we just get to stop and reflect and say, oh, look at what I have in my life. Look at how God has been really, really good to me and has blessed me and given me so many incredible things. It's just amazing. And sometimes we just need to be around people who have different stories than ours so we can hear and go, wow, God really has been good. God really has blessed me. God really has been there to provide for me. So I would just urge you, don't rush ahead, okay? No, I'm not telling you can't do stuff. I'm telling you, don't rush ahead, okay? If you got to hang a turkey on your tree, hang a turkey on your tree, okay? I don't know what it'll take. Please don't rush ahead. Don't miss this season because I want you to have a season where you understand gratitude and gratefulness and that God has provided everything that we need. That's the whole reason it started, was to honor the provision of God, and it kept going in our nation. That's why it's an official holiday. It's an official holiday to honor the goodness of God and his blessings and his goodness to us. So has this ever happened to you? You're driving, and that little light comes on. I call it the dreaded check engine light. Ever come on for you? Now, auto mechanic Google, I don't know why it always tells you to check your fuel cap. That is like never worked. It has never worked, ever. And if it's worked for you, you can come and tell me. And if you're online, it's worked for you. You tell Pastor Ryan back in the chat that it's worked for you. It's never worked for me. So I decided to do something about it. I bought one of these. You know what this is? This is an OBD2 scanner. This plugs into a place underneath your steering column, all depends where it is in your car, and it tells you, actually, it gives you a code, and then you go to Auto Mechanic Google because you got to read the code because you have no idea what the code means, okay? So that's part of the job for you, okay? It gives you a code, and it tells you, oh, this is what's wrong, okay? This thing is misfiring, so you got a spark plug issue. You got other issues going on and taking place, okay? I don't know, maybe it tells you your fuel cap is loose, but it's never done that to me, okay? But that's why I got this, because I was tired of it. Because you know what that light does when it comes on? Oh, no. Oh, no. Uh-oh. And why is it only me, okay, that the engine's about to blow up when the light comes on? I don't know why I go there. It's like ready to blow up. It's ready to just drop out of the car or something, right? And it doesn't mean check to make sure the engine's there either, okay? That doesn't work, but you plug this in, tells you code. So you now know what's happening, what's going on, okay? Might be an O2 sensor. I get that a lot for some reason, okay? There's all sorts of different things. But that's why I wanted to get this. Because I'm tired of sitting around and not knowing, and in not knowing, just turning to worry and anxiety and going, I don't know what to do, and what's wrong with this thing, and it's got to go to a mechanic, and it's going to cost $200 an hour, and just all that stuff. Okay, forget this. Get this. Plug it in. Find the code. Here's my point. Could it be Could worry be the warning sign we are not trusting Jesus? That's what I just started thinking this week. Could this be why Jesus is having this conversation? That he's actually designed us, even with the messed up mess we are in sin. Romans 8:28, all things work together for good, okay? Okay, I'll take your broken, fallen nature, and I'll let it help you, okay? I'll just let it help you. Could it be that worrying is the sign that we're having problems trusting Jesus? In whatever area it is, that shows up. That's an indication, oh, okay, I'm having problems in this area trusting Jesus. That's my question this morning. I think it has a lot to do with this idea of, oh, you of little faith. For years, I have heard that as Jesus, either when he says it to Peter, he says it to the disciples, he says it here to the whole crowd, like he's just, I'm so disappointed in you, right? That tone we just hate, that tone we just have had in our lives, and we just transpose it into Scripture, and we think, oh, Jesus is totally disappointed with me because I'm worrying, right? I have little faith. Maybe it's not that. Maybe it's a question. Why is faith so small? Faith is simply believing that God is who he says he is. He will do everything he says that he will do. It's all about trust. Are we actually trusting Jesus? So could it be that happens and that's a whoop, light flashing, right? You got to read the code. And what could that code be? Oh, I'm having problems trusting Jesus in this area, and that's what's going on. That's why this is happening, and that's why I'm worried about it. In fact, would you think for a moment, and this is going to be your exercise this week, but would you think for a moment, where in your life is worrying showing up? Where is it rearing its ugly head right now? Could it be with your kids? You know, I told you my whole story about that a few years ago, where I kept looking at Jill going, what are you so worried? What are you worried about? It'd be fine. Until he gets on the plane and goes to Romania, right? And then comes back and forgets to take his phone out of airplane mode, all right? And there I am at 2 in the morning watching every single bit of worldwide news to find out what an aircraft did leaving Romania. I mean, just crazy stuff, right? Okay, until you get to that point when all of a sudden, find my iPhone doesn't work in airplane mode, okay? Somebody go fix that at Apple, okay? And you don't know. You don't know, and you're sitting there and you don't know. And then all of a sudden it shows up and you're like, oh. So I want you to think about that. Where in your life is worry showing up? Is it about your job? Is it about provision? Is it about your health? You have an appointment this week. That you're at a doctor's appointment, you know something's wrong, right? You know they're going to find something wrong, and it's always bad, right? Where is it? Where is it showing up in your life? In fact, that's what I want you to do this week. I just want you to take notes of where it's showing up. Take notes. Take note of when it happens. And you begin to worry about something. Oh, it's showing up when it comes to this. Is that the warning sign? That's the question we're going to ask. Because I believe the second part of this is where Jesus is going to move us and get us into a kingdom mindset of what do we do with those things about provision and clothes and the things that he all listed for us. That's where I think he's going to get us into a different mindset so we don't go to pieces, so we don't have this great divided mind. He's actually going to speak into it. But I think the first part for us is just to say, where's it showing up? Just note it this week, okay? Just note. And because we talked about it, you'll see it. And just a disclaimer, husbands and wives, you probably shouldn't point it out to each other, okay? I'm just giving you some marriage tips here, okay? Don't go, oh, is that what you're worried about? You feeling guilty? Okay, don't do that, okay? Don't use that tone, okay? But encourage one another to say, where's it showing up in my life? Just make a little note. Showed up there. Showed up on that day when I got this phone call, when I received this email, when I heard this news, that's when it appeared. Might that be a sign that that's an area I'm having a problem trusting God? That's all I want you to do this week. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. This morning, we're going to take communion together, and we're going to ask anybody in here, you follow Jesus, We invite you to be a part of that. It's all it requires. You know, Jesus is your Savior. Come. Our two elders will be up here. They will have the cup and the bread. There'll be two cups together. You just grab one, head back to your seat. We're all going to eat and drink together. We're going to celebrate God's goodness and his provision for our salvation through Jesus. So we're going to celebrate that this morning. But for this week, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit to help us, to be honest about where worrying showing up in our life. And we're going to take note of that so we're ready next week to see what Jesus has to say in the last part of Matthew chapter 6 in the Sermon on the Mount. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we recognize we need your help today. You have given us incredible gifts, and one of those gifts is the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to sit here and be self-deceived and just think about somebody else, maybe our spouse, oh, they're the worrying type. Oh, I know this person, this friend of mine, they always worry. And so we cast it off without making some self-reflection. And Holy Spirit, we need you to help us to do that. Because we will be self-deceived. We will consider other levels of worry higher than ours. And in comparison, there's no reason to take this even seriously. We don't want to do that. So would you help us? And Jesus, as we're getting ready to take the cup and the bread, this is your provision for us. If we ever hear the whisper that we're not loved by you, this just reminds us, you died in our place, rose again for our salvation. And there is forgiveness and redemption in you. And we hold those two elements today in celebration of that forgiveness and that redemption. So we're asking you to bless the cup and the bread today as we eat and drink and celebrate your sacrifice for us. And all around, Father, your goodness to us. We thank you. May you speak truth into our life. May we embrace that truth and walk forward in it. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name.